The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
It started as a whisper until you screamed it at the top of your lungs. We gained momentum. You made us unstoppable. We had a vision for change. You made it a revolution. We told you we are the future, until you told us the future is now.
We are NXT!
Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the NXT cast. I'm your host, Don DeLaurenti, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Simi. How are you, Miss Simi?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
Doing well. I'm doing well. Glad that you could join me for another edition of the NXT cast.
Yeah.
We got a action-packed episode this week because we're coming off of a takeover weekend, takeover in your house.
Great show.
Full of nostalgia in all the right places. Kudos to Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Road Dogg for inserting the little ice cream bars with the Lord Alfred Hayes voiceover.
Yeah.
The In Your House set itself with the old, the old house setup. So just some really good touches.
Yeah, just like really cute, like little tiny segments that made me happy.
Yeah, it wasn't overdone, but it was, like I said, just right in the right places. So we're going to review that show, and then we're also going to talk about this past Wednesday night's NXT as well. So before we start, just to let you know that this is a part of the CSPN NXT cast. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the podcast through the WrestleCast feed. All you have to do is search for the WrestleCast dash the CSPN, and you will be subscribed to the RawCast, the NXT cast, and SmackDown Matters. So we start off in your house with a 6-women tag match. Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. They take on Mia Yim, Shotzi Blackheart, and Tegan Nox. Shotzi Blackheart saves Tegan Nox from some tandem offense, leading Dakota Kai to accidentally kick Raquel Gonzalez. Tegan then chokeslams Dakota. They take out Raquel, and then Tegan hits Dakota with the Shiningest Wizard and Mia Yim. Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox are your winners.
Yay! This match made me like Tegan.
We have a revelation.
I know. I was like, oh. But it was her in the Shotzi. I don't know when they did that move where it's like she kind of... It was her in Shotzi's like little sequence with like Raquel. I was just like, ooh. Okay. Tegan.
I'm glad you came over to the dark side.
I mean, I'm dipping a toe. we dip a toe in there.
This is not a full body.
This is, no.
Okay.
Just a little.
This is not a
little test of the waters.
It's not an Otis cannonball into the pool.
No. It's a little Wade.
I got you.
Like a little, a fashion cast. Ooh, I dug her little brown jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh. This is a nice little jacket. What was up with these fairy wings on Candace? I know she's the poison pixie, but I was just like, no.
You didn't like the Victoria's Secret wings? No, no.
No. If you're going to go wings, they need to be lavish. These were little, like, Party City wings. I'm not here for it. Her hair looks slightly better. She had a little curl, a little bounce, but I was just like, these wings, babe. No.
Improved on the hair,
improved on the hair.
Disappointed by the wings.
Yeah.
Can't have it all.
She doesn't. She's just, it's always thumb off. Just like one thing.
Damien.
This match is really good.
Damien Priest versus your fave. The Prince, Finn Balor. Priest cuts off.
This was my favorite match of the night. Okay. We're just going to put that out there.
Damian Priest cuts off the coup de grace with an avalanche choke slam, but he's too hurt to make the cover. Damian Priest goes for a razor's edge onto the steel steps, but Friend gets free, and he knocks Damian Priest onto the steps. You can see the life leave Damian Priest's body when he hit those.
Yep. His spirit just, like, ejected from his whole ass body.
Finn then hits the coup de grace once Damian Priest gets back on the inside, and Finn Balor gets the win.
Yeah. Like I said, he would. This match was so good. It was my favorite. All those damn stair spots. I was like, good God, they're going to die. Every time I was like, watch his shoulder. Watch his knees. Watch his everything. He gets hurt easily.
Finn and Sasha, they make you hold your breath every time they have a wrestling match.
Jesus. I was so nervous. They had me stressed out literally the entire time. I was like, oh no, who's going to do it? Oh no, double stop. Oh God, stairs. Oh no, the apron. Ah, that was me the entire time. You know, like that Jordan Peele where he's like sweating profusely?
Right.
That was me just watching this match, just nervous at every second.
Keith Lee defended his North American championship against Johnny Gargano. Johnny uses the keys from his trunks to jab Keith Lee in the eye, and then he hits his DDT for a big near fall. Keith Lee recovers with a combo starting with the Spirit Bomb and ending with the Big Bang Catastrophe, and Keith Lee retains the North American title.
Yay! This is a good match, too. I liked how Johnny kept coming up with different strategies to, like, try to beat Keith Lee, and Keith Lee was like, oh, fuck out of here. You will not get me. I love that. And when he tried to, like, go back into the house, he was just like, let me in. That was great. Unsanitary with the keys. We're still in a pandemic, Johnny. You didn't sanitize those keys. Gross. They were sweaty. Ew. A great match.
Adam Cole, baby, defended his NXT championship against the Velveteen Dream in a backlot brawl. Dexter Lumis shows up and he takes care of Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong, putting them in the trunk of a car and driving off. Adam Cole survived the Dream Valley Driver and the Purple Rainmaker to hit his Panama Sunrise into a pile of chairs, and Adam Cole, baby, retains the NXT title.
I thought my boy Dream was going to get it. I really thought he was going to do it.
We all did.
But no. Ooh, this was a good match. I liked how they came in the street gear. How the ref was like, listen, I'm just here to make sure that we declare a winner. Other than that, do what you will. That was great. That spot when the lady was like, anybody calling for an Uber? I'm like, bitch, they're fighting. What are you doing? Get out of here.
What'd you feel about the respective vehicles that each man rolled up to the match in?
I was a fan. I also expected a little red Corvette, but I liked that little like yellow Lambo. I liked the big truck. I liked that they drove it like almost basically to the ring. Cody, FDR. Drive it to the ring. That was great. Dexter Lumis, who are you, man? Where you just randomly just came from out of nowhere, threw them hoes in the truck and just drove off. I love that. So great. It was a great match. Second favorite match of the night. It was hard hitting. It had good funny spots. And Adam Cole basically won clean because, like, Dexter Lumis was like, I'm going to take these hoes out of action.
Yeah.
I miss Kyle O'Reilly. Damn it. Where's my bearded ginger? Where are you?
Exactly. Hopefully, I don't know what his injury is, but right. It's very serious.
God damn it. Come back to me.
Yeah, he was in the little vignette for the celebration, right? But that was it.
Right. I was just like, I thought that was that meant he was coming back, and then he did it, and I was sad.
Our next matchup saw Karrion Kross. Well, let me reverse that. Scarlett with Karrion mm-hmm. Kross versus Tommaso Ciampa. So we got to see the Fallen Prey at a takeover. Yep. Mm-hmm. Scarlett looking. Whew.
Oof, yeah. Let's talk about this glittery little black catsuit that she was wearing.
Let's talk about the Instagram post where she was like, all you five, shut up because the 10 is talking.
Ma'am, yep, he's talking because great. You look so good. The gloves that had like the freaking claw things. I was just like, ma'am, Fallen Prey. Let's do it.
This is basically a squash match. Ciampa hits a running knee and a DDT, and that's about all the offense he got. Karrion Kross
yep. threw
in the choke. Ciampa passed mm-hmm. out, and that was it.
Yep. Lights out. But this was actually, it made me see like how much more of a threat Karrion is. Because like before, it was just like all other squash matches where it was just like, I don't know who this person is. So there's like, of course he's going to beat them. But like this, like, he had like a whole bunch of different moves and like saw his like little martial arts thing. I was like, okay, Karrion. So like Scarlett better, but I see you. I appreciate what you can do in the ring.
Yeah, he's got some potential. He's got some real potential. You know who he looks like? He looks like a slightly shorter Bit Cass with no hair.
That's what it is. It's in the eyes. He got the big eyes.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
If you would have told me that what we're going to talk about next was going to be the main event, I would have been like, over the back, bro, I don't know.
Right.
But the women.
Mm-hmm.
The three-way title match between Charlotte Flair, Io Shirai, and Rhea Ripley is your main event. For
NXT
TakeOver In Your House. I think they said this was the first time since 2017 or 16 when mm-hmm. Bayley and Sasha main evented.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Charlotte, she goes for that kendo stick again. She beats down both ladies. She applies the figure four, transitions into the figure eight on Rhea. And that's when Io Shirai came off of the top rope with the moonsault onto Rhea. She pins Rhea, and she wins the NXT Women's title.
Yeah! I was so excited.
That was her second most impressive high spot of the night as Io Shirai got thrown into the house. And then all of a sudden, she appeared on top of the house, and she did a crossbar off of the house onto Charlotte and Rhea, as Charlotte caught that all in the face too.
Right, that blew my damn. I was just like, get down from there. Get off of there, Io. I was like, she's so little. Don't let her die.
That was so good. The conclusion of the match saw Io celebrating with all the streamers and confetti like it was Stardom in Japan. So it was a real nice touch. The only thing they didn't have were like the flowers. But it was a real nice, real cool looking scene to see all that coming down around EO celebrating in the middle of the ring with the title.
So happy. That was the only like spoiler thing that I saw before I watched it. But I was fine with that because I was just like, my girl won. At least that's what matters. I love this match. And I loved how aggressive Rhea got too in there. Like, there was one side with her and like Charlotte was just scrapping out on the floor. I was just like, yes, do it. So that was great. I love this match. This is a really good match.
The performance in the crowd was really into it too as well.
Yeah. It just, it makes such a difference when there's a crowd. I love that.
So what did you think of the show overall?
It was really, really fun. I really liked it. So, like, I expected they were just going to, like, be, like, fighting in, like, different houses. Because I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. But I really liked it. I liked how, like, some of them use, like, the set of the house to, like, really fight. like with me and Candace just kind of like went into the background with fighting with that. Mm-hmm. I liked all like the little cute like vignettes that they had. Like when Triple H, Road Dogg, and HBK were trying to figure out the computer and they were just like hitting it. And then Road Dogg, like, he like knocked down the sign. He's just like, that made me happy. And then when he was just like, wait, what? We don't have 800 numbers anymore. How? Yeah, that made me laugh.
They had Todd Pettingill, the original host of the In Your House, for this as well. Like I said, just really a fun. Bunch of nice touches of nostalgia.
Yeah, it was like not too much, but it was just like, here's a sprinkle to like yeah. make it better. I really yeah. like this.
If you got it, you got it.
Mm-hmm. And like every match, I thought it was like really well placed and well paced also. So I was just like, I was completely satisfied with this takeover. I was really happy. I liked it.
This was one of the very few takeovers in the last like, 3 or 4 years, it didn't have like a mm-hmm. match of the year candidate on it. So,
really?
Yeah, in that regard, it probably was like lesser than what people would expect for TakeOver. But I mean, mm-hmm. it's better than anything you're going to get from main roster at any point.
Yep. I think the Adam Cole and Dream one can be match of the year. That was a really good match. And I really like the Finn and Damian, but maybe I'm biased.
I think you're really biased.
All right, fine. I'll admit it.
At least you're not afraid to admit it. Some people would be like,
uh-uh. No.
But yes, thank you to everybody who came out, used the hashtag #CastTakeover on this past Sunday to live tweet with us on the NXT TakeOver In Your House, culminating with Io Shirai becoming our new NXT Women's Champion.
Yes.
So that brings us to this past Wednesday's NXT. The Undisputed Era, they come out to start the show. Adam Cole, baby. He's back. He's bragging about retaining the title, saying Velveteen Dream is good, but he's no Adam Cole. What's next for Adam Cole? He says it doesn't matter because he's run roughshod as the most dominant champion in this brand's history and currently in WWE. Nobody can beat him. They turned their focus. He says nobody can beat him in NXT or in WWE.
Well.
Interesting. They turned the
Don't move him. Leave him here. Okay. You hear me, Vince? You leave Adam Cole alone.
They turn the focus to Dexter Lumis. Roderick Strong hilariously says, everyone knows he hates being locked in trunks. Cole and Fish look at him with total confusion. Roddy spots Dexter Lumis in the crowd and points him out to the Undisputed Era, but he's gone. He does this twice. Clearly, he's got Roddy unhinged. Adam Cole faces Dexter tonight, and Cole promises to send him back to the drawing board. Lumis watches on as Roderick Strong runs away.
Yo, Roddy is like kind of underrated as like a funny guy because his paranoia throughout this whole show was the way he was just like, everybody knows I hate being in small trunks, and they looked at him, he was just like, I was like, yo, you are so funny. I loved his like little paranoia throughout this whole show. It just like made it that much better.
Backstage, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish are trying to calm Roddy down. That's when Keith Lee and Mia Yim walk up. Keith Lee looks at the NXT title and says he has an idea of what's next for him.
Let's get it.
So that leads us into Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano versus Keith Lee and Mia Yim. So basically a rematch of last week's match that got thrown out because of the big brawl between the ladies. You know what? Why did they waste that last week to just do it again this week?
Yeah, because this week was so much better. They should have just waited.
Right.
And just did it right now. And they listened to me, and they gave me some intergender thing. Yo, Mia fucked the shit out of Johnny Gargano, and I was here for every second of it. I was like, yes, do it. Punch him again. Johnny Gargano does not care about his wife. I'm going to be on my Kanye West Bush does not care about black people. Johnny Gargano does not care about Candice LeRae. Fucking Keith Lee showed more care for that little white girl than her own husband. Because the way he gingerly moved her out of the way he was trying not to like fall on top of her. And then Johnny DDT'd him on top of that girl. And then was just like, time to take the pin. Jonathan.
Yes. Yeah, wow, so what happened was Candice and Mia were on the apron. Mm-hmm. And Mia was on the apron, Candice was on the inside, and Johnny is coming to help Candice with Mia. And what happens is Keith Lee pounces Johnny into Candice, who then knocks Mia to the apron. So, of course, you know, he's all concerned about Mia Yim. Well, Keith Lee then gets caught with the one final beat DDT, that springboard DDT. But when DDT's Keith Lee, Candice is still laying underneath where she got hit, and Keith Lee falls right on top of her, all 300 and they say 40, but you know, they smudge here or there.
Right.
So Keith Lee's all concerned. So he's like, picks up a lifeless Candice LeRae, and when he's, you know, getting ready to like, you know, try to help her out of the ring or whatever, Johnny rolls Keith Lee up and gets the pinfall. Mm. And basically, when he rolled up Candice LeRae, it basically rolled her right out of the ring.
Yeah.
She's like laying dead.
She's dead. She's gone. He freaking like weakened at Bernie's her out of the ring when they were just like celebrating. I was just like, your wife is dead, sir. What did you do? We're getting a divorce.
But yeah, this was a pretty funny little deal right there.
And Keith Lee and Mia Yim had a really cute moment when she like went to dive and he like caught her.
Yeah.
I was like, Yimitless, this is so cute. I like that part.
The crowd was really into this match too.
Yeah. I enjoyed
Cameron Grimes. Oh, no. Hold on before we get there. Damian Priest.
Yeah.
He's interviewed after TakeOver and he says that he doesn't regret anything. He says he's still on his way to becoming infamous.
He has a great voice. Let's put that out there.
Now it's time for my man, Cameron Grimes. He's interviewed about facing Finn Balor again tonight. He says that he's confident. He said, you don't know my middle name, Cameron Confident Grimes. He says he's confident that he's going to move to 2-0 against Finn Balor. He disses Damian Priest for his loss at TakeOver, and he keeps talking about how, you know, he's on a winning streak and, you know, good things are coming his way. That's when Damian Priest comes up to him. Cameron Grimes quickly says, oh, man, Damian Priest, what's up, brother? You almost had him. You almost won. You were right there. You were right. You know, you lost to Finn Balor, but I beat him. But you was right there. And then that's when Damian Priest lays him out with a forearm to the jaw.
Oh, he's grown on me so much. I love him. Oh, he makes me happy.
I think he's turned up his volume a little bit. At first, he was kind of kind of quiet, but now like he's talking when he comes to the ring. He's he's real confident when he's doing his promos now. So I think he's just turned up his volume a little bit.
He like turns up that accent and he just gets really excited. It just makes him really happy.
We get highlights of Io winning the NXT Women's Title. At the TakeOver, basically it was the pre-match video package that they ran with just the highlights of her winning the match, or you know, her actions in the match. So it was really good. Indusheer beat up two jobbers. They won with a diving leg drop, side slam finisher. So nothing to see here, except for
Malcolm Bivens
hitting the rap squat.
Yeah.
I knew that's what you were going to bring up.
That, and when they won and the referee went to like put up his hand, he like snuck in there, was just like, nope, me. I did this. I was just like, yeah, you're so funny. He's great.
Backstage, Jake Wartz, the referee, he's speaking with William Regal via FaceTime. Apparently, Cameron Grimes says he has a broken jaw and he can't compete tonight. Regal doesn't believe him, and he wants to lay his eyes on Cameron Grimes. Well, we come back from a commercial. They finally find Cameron Grimes. He's up here getting his Mac on. And Drake is like, Cameron. He's like, nah, man, I'm busy right now. Can't you see? He's like, Drake, for real, I need to talk to you. He was like, no, you don't need to talk to me. What you need to go do is go count 1, 2, 3 somewhere. He's like, Cameron, for real, this is serious. And so they finally get him to take it serious. But while he's talking to the girls, he tells them, oh, Damian Priest didn't even hit me that hard. And then when Drake finally gets him to pay attention and notices Steven Regal, he tries to fake like, oh, his jaw's all hurt. And Regal's like, oh, no, nah, man, that's BS. The match is on.
Drake, why did you set my man up like that? You should have gone on mute. Okay. Okay, with the laptop, with the thing, and just be like, here you go. See, set him up. He was just trying to get his mic on with that really pretty black girl, and what did you do? You fucked his game up.
Yeah, she looked like Caden Carter, but taller.
She right, with like
Carter braids.
Yeah, I was just like, ooh, I understand. Couldn't get his mic on. God damn it. Referee man.
We get a video to hype up Breezango. They talk about yeah. how they like making people laugh and being a punchline, which stopped them from success. They hype Fandango's debut win and what Tyler Breeze did prior in NXT. They said they lost focus on SmackDown. They need to leave the entertainment before and after the bell. And they say that they will win the NXT tag team titles next week.
Yeah. I love this video package. She called that man marsupial. It was like, Ken, marsupial. I don't think you did that right. No, I did. I got that right. They're so funny.
He was like, NXT was built on the back of this kid. He's like, kid, I'm 32.
He's like, what? Like, you got a young face.
he's like, I swear you're still 20. He's like, I thought you were 27. You got a young face.
Fandango is just like so like subtly funny. He has this kind of like dry humor and like little like jab that if you don't really catch, you listen to it, you don't catch it. And I love that.
In a WWE Network exclusive, a frustrated Ciampa leaves the Performance Center hours after the TakeOver NXT In Your House show, and he ignores all the questions.
Yep. Well, because they keep asking dumb questions. How does it feel to lose? How do you think it feels? I'm off. Get out of my face. Do you think I'm happy? Do you think I'm going to be jovial? Skipping around eating ice cream? I'm mad. Get out of my face. Get this camera out of my face.
Yeah, it was funny to see the reporter try to ask him these dumb questions and he's just getting instructed like, I have no time for you.
The other reporter moment was with Rhea, but we'll talk about it.
Rhea Ripley, she gets interviewed after another disappointing loss at TakeOver. It just warms the cockles of your heart, doesn't it?
It just made me laugh because it was like the shade. She was just like, how does it feel after another disappointing loss? I'm like, bitch, really? That's so rude.
She's getting her Charlie on from the main roster.
Right. I was just like, this is so shady. It made me laugh.
Rhea says she gave it her all, and she slightly applauded Io for taking advantage of her opportunity. That's when a disheveled Robert Stone shows up to say that they are both losers in 2020. Robert Stone looked like he'd been on that boogie for like 2 weeks. Yo,
the messier that Robert Stone is, the more I like him. He just like drapes himself over the sign and is just like defeated. And it just makes me laugh.
Robert Stone says together they can rise from the ashes. He'll do everything for Rhea, from making calls to getting her matches. Rhea says the chances of her being part of his brand are 1 in a million. So Robert Stone's like, so you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, what's that?
She walks off and she tells him to come here. and he follows her, and he ends up getting body slammed into a trash can by Rhea Ripley.
Oops. Well, guess that's a no. Try again tomorrow, Robert. Like Aaliyah said, if at first you don't succeed, you can always come back and try again.
So I guess they're trying to give Robert Stone a little bit of a little bit more of a play here. Hopefully, yeah. Vanessa Bourne comes back and her and Aaliyah join the brand, and he can kind of get this thing restarted.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're gonna do with Chelsea Green though. Now
that I don't know, they might move her to the main roster.
Too soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they do though.
You are right. You are right. Because all it takes is for Charlotte to be like, I think she's pretty good.
Right. And she is. So, like, I think she should stay down here. Like, that's why I didn't understand why she all of a sudden fired Robert Stone.
Right.
But we'll see.
So now we have a rematch from a couple of weeks ago as Cameron Grimes takes on Finn Balor. Finn misses the coup de grace and he gets rolled up for a two count. A Superman forearm and another roll up gets Grimes a near fall. Then Finn hits the final cut. He hits the reverse 1916 for a two count of his own. Finn then connects with the coup de grace and then he adds the 1916 for misery and pins Cameron Grimes, and Finn Balor is victorious.
Yay, but aw, Cameron. But yay, Finn.
Finn then gets in the camera. He's saying that he has won a lot of titles in his career, but he's never won the North American title. So he tells Keith Lee, pay attention.
Uh-oh. So I thought with Dream losing, I was just like, okay, so maybe they're going to have Finn be the one to dethrone Adam Cole. But maybe Finn is going to take the North American championship and Keith Lee is going to beat Adam Cole.
Glorious, isn't it?
Yes. Have they ever had a black NXT champion?
Big E, actually.
Really?
Really.
Oh.
Big E.
I was watching that though.
Yeah, I wasn't either, so.
Aw.
Our next matchup, we see Dakota Kai versus Casey Catanzaro. What do you think about Dakota's hair?
I love this pink. It's so good. I love how, like, the longer hair on her looks so good. And, like, the dusty pink. Woo! I'm here for it. She had this picture with, like, her and Raquel, where, like, Raquel was just, like, showing her back. And she was just like, got your muscular back. I was just like, I'm here for this duo. Right there. I like it. It's great. Her and her glittery rainbow gear. Love Dakota.
Casey fires off a series of strikes. However, she runs into a scorpion kick and the GTK, or the go-to kick. Yes. And Dakota Kai is your winner.
I like this updated GTK that she's doing. Because the first time she did it, it just looked awkward. And I like didn't like how like the transition was. But now with like her going down and kicking, it looks so much smoother and so much better and like more brutal. I was just like, yes. I like this updated version.
Dakota Kai tells the camera that she's coming for the championship, and then they attack Casey Catanzaro further. That's when Caden Carter runs out. She trips up Dakota. They say that she's Casey's roommate and tag team partner. Caden uses her speed to kick Dakota Kai a few times, but then she gets caught by Raquel and slammed down to the mat, and that's the end of that.
Yes. Build up the ladies' tag team in NXT. Let's do it. Because you have enough women here and, like, talented. Do it. Go. Yeah. I'm here for it.
I'm all about introducing some more tag teams, especially if he's going to get Lil' Caden Carter a chance to wrestle and maybe get some wins. I really like her. I think that she got a chance to wrestle a lot when the quarantine first happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that she improved a ton. Like she got squashed, but she beat somebody though too on an upset. So you know,
she beat Aaliyah?
Yeah, I think so.
Aaliyah,
So, you know, it finally, you know, paid off for her with the win over Aaliyah. But I think she improved a lot, and I'd like to see her get a really good chance at being on the show every week.
Right. With how fast she is and, like, little Casey and her little ninja skills, like, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here.
We get a video of random dudes entering the ring to attend Timothy Thatcher's catch camp. Timothy Thatcher is going to teach people his style of wrestling, and he says classes begin next week after they all sign their waivers.
Ooh, uh-oh. Well, see, now, you know, we got to sign a waiver. That means bones are going to break, so. I would be wary.
Yeah, somebody could get hurt.
Somebody will get hurt. Not can. They will. Guaranteed. You're signing a waiver. You saw what Thatcher did to Matt Riddle. You're going to get hurt.
Yeah, we did. Sent him right to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Flip-flop King. I can't wait to see him wrestle people.
El Hilo del Fantasma's brought out for an in-ring promo. But as soon as he starts speaking, Drake Maverick comes out. He's clapping for him. He puts over Fantasma's talent and congratulates him. He knows that people talked about his story last week, but more shine should be put on Fantasma's win and his performance. However, Drake says that he would have done better if his head was totally clear. You know, he had that little thing, you know, about his job hanging over him.
Mm-hmm. Just a little stressed.
He knows that he could beat Fantasma if he's given another chance. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think? You think that's true?
As much as I like Drake, I don't know. Eliho is really good. He might have a chance, though.
Okay.
Because he has the heart.
Well, Fantasma agrees to give him another title shot, and then the masked men come down to the ringside. Fantasma and Drake Maverick prepare to fight them, but Fantasma slowly turns to Maverick and headbutts him. The three masked men attack Drake, and they stomp on him. Fantasma makes the other two men remove their masks, revealing Joaquin Wild and Raul Mendoza.
Shock it all.
We get a phantom driver on Drake, and then Fantasma removes his mask as well. He says he is Santos Escobar, and he says that nobody can touch him. And then Mendoza and Wild hit double splashes on Drake Maverick.
Samuel was right. Conspiracy. Cahoot. I liked it.
Finally,
I'm here for this little faction, yes. Be a little freaking little evil faction here. I'm here for it. Do it.
LWO.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
See, it took a second.
I was just like, oh, I get it. Hopefully, it's not like some like racist name like they did with the Kabuki Warriors. It's not like freaking cartel or some shit.
Right.
Watch is gonna do that. It's gonna be like, oh, the cartel, or try to do some play on like ICE or some shit. It's gonna be that. Right. It better not be.
Backstage, Roderick Strong is freaking out because he finds a drawing made by Dexter Lumis in their locker room. Adam Cole tells him to chill, baby, because they've taken out every threat before. Fish and Cole leave while Lumis pops up watching Roderick Strong creepily, and Roderick Strong runs away again. So this is like the theme of the show. It's just like Dexter Lumis is just playing mind games with Roderick Strong.
Let's keep this going for like as long as we can.
Next week, it is announced that Shotzi Blackheart and Simi's new fave, Tegan Nox, are going to get a women's tag team title shot against whoever walks out as champions at Backlash. So there's a three-way at Backlash this Sunday. It's going to be Sasha Banks and Bayley versus the Iconics versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Listen, I'm here for this. Ooh, Shotzi coming down in his tank against Sasha and Bayley with Tegan also. Ooh, it's going to be good. It better be. I want it.
Main event time. Adam Cole versus Dexter Lumis. Dexter disappears for a little bit, confusing everyone. The Undisputed Era looks for him, and he sneaks in from under the ring, getting a two count after he hit Adam Cole with the Spine Buster. Adam Cole gets his knees up on a senton, but he gets caught in the anaconda vice. Bobby Fish distracts the referee, and that allows Roderick Strong to kick Loomis in the back of the head. Adam Cole hits the last shot, and Adam Cole, baby, gets the win.
Dexter Loomis is out here wrestling in like press trousers. He's pulling a Bella Twins going under the ring. Ooh, what if he was a twin? That'd be fun. Not, but that would be fun. What if it's like the Bella Twins and it's two evil Dexter Loomises? What a twist. It's not going to happen. But this is crazy. Why are you under the ring all the time? It's so weird. Who are you, sir? What is your story? Why are you possessed?
Still don't have any more answers about anything, even though they're advancing his story.
Yeah.
So
maybe he's not a good talker or something, but
I don't know. The Undisputed Era leave, but Adam Cole stays behind to talk more trash to Loomis. He leans over Loomis and shows off the title. Loomis pops up and puts him back into the anaconda vice. Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong, they come back, they stomp on Loomis to break the hole. That's when the Velveteen Dream arrives. He sends Roderick Strong into the steel steps before sending Bobby Fish into the plexiglass. Loomis then chases Strong off. Adam Cole is left alone in the ring, and he holds his title up high. The lights dim. Adam Cole is confused. That's when Scarlett appears on the stage. The crowd starts to chant, fall and pray, as she starts to walk towards the ring. She pulls out an hourglass. She turns it over and leaves it in the ring, and the crowd begins to chant, tick-tock, tick-tock, as she walks off. And then we just get a close-up of the hourglass and the sand running out of it with Adam Cole in like the background.
Yes. Chef's kiss. Great. Loved it. Although the crowd, they need to pick a rhythm. Either you're going to do the fast fall and pray, or you're going to do the slow fall and pray. Get together on it and figure it out. It was discord. Some people were going slow, some people were going fast, and it was just, it was not meshing. You need to make it mesh.
It just sounded like a bunch of noise, unfortunately.
Yeah. You can't mess with a Scarlett appearance, people.
Yeah.
You gotta pick a rhythm.
She was looking as only she can look again.
Yep.
Seems to be the theme of her appearances, you noticed?
Yeah, I'm great. One of the only blonde women I can stand. Love it. Don't disappoint me, lady.
So what do you feel about Karrion Kross?
It might be, I think it's a little soon.
That's why she put the time, because I think it's not going to happen.
Right, yeah. Because I was just like, this is a little fast. I thought they might like kind of build it up a little bit more. So, I'm just wondering like maybe it's kind of to sow a little bit more paranoia with Adam Cole. Like right. He just has like too many challengers coming at him at one time. So, I don't know. Maybe it's going to have a little discord with, like, the Undisputed Era. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Adam Cole leading up until SummerSlam. His contract status has been resolved, so it doesn't look like
he's
going to be leaving anytime soon.
Okay, good.
Overall thoughts on the episode before we get into the shout-outs and thank-yous?
A great episode. Adam Cole. Learn from Undertaker matches. You never get in his face because he's going to get back up. Don't do that. That's why you got choked out. So let's remember that. This was a really, really good show. I like the pacing. Roddy's paranoia was my favorite thing. It was funny. I like Scarlett like coming in with like a little TikTok, like be on your toes, sir. I still don't know what they're going to do with Dream and Loomis thing. Like, what is... like, are they going to be a tag team? Is this, like what's happening here? So.
Yeah, we got to get some Dexter Loomis dialogue.
Right. Like, a video package. Something.
A background. Something.
Right. They tried to ask him a question last week, and he just drew a picture. Like, we need...
yeah.
We need something else.
Yeah, we need a lot more just to kind of... give us a clearer picture on what this guy's like. I know we've been saying this for like the last month of episodes, but like the more that they thrust him into these main event segments and stuff, the more questions you have.
Wait, every time I'm just like, who are you? Literally every time.
Like, so are you a good guy or are you a bad guy?
Right. Like, what is this? Why are you after the UE? Is it because you don't like how they're ganging up on people? You're trying to, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I need to understand.
Are you a justice warrior or are you out here for your own cause? Like, yeah, like, explain yourself.
Right. You can't just stare at people. You don't have telepathy. I don't know what's happening in that brain of yours. Explain to me what's going on.
So at this point, Ms. Simi, anything else you'd like to add before you give your shout outs and thank yous?
Way to bring it back, NXT. Because we were hard on you before, but you brought it right back. And I'm proud of you. But shout out to you, as always. Shout out to Samuel. And shout out to Dee Dee. Shout out to the CSPN family. And you guys for listening.
I'd like to thank Ms. Simi for joining me once again this week on the NXT cast. I'd also like to thank everybody who joined us this past Sunday for the Cast Takeover live tweets. Everybody who was in the hashtag as well for NXT cast. We definitely appreciate y'all keeping the hashtag going while me and Ms. Simi are watching Dynamite. But then we swiftly jump over to NXT.
Right. It scared me this week, though, because like my thing, it didn't look like it was recording. I was like, oh. Oh no, you will not. I had to like check it real quick to make sure it was recording because I didn't see the little red light that I usually see. I was just like, oh no. I almost got pissed. But then it was fine.
Like to give a shout out to Sam, Greg, Miss Dee Dee Jonay, Miss J to the Max, Mo to the _ Reese as well. Check us out as we gave a little backlash preview on this edition of the Rawcast that came out this week. So check that out. So me and him go through the card and tell you guys who we got. So please check that out. Again, check us out this Sunday. There is a pay-per-view, Backlash. We will be sharing our commentary with color with the hashtag #BlackLashCast. So look for that hashtag. It'll be up on Twitter all weekend. You guys also vote in the Twitter poll. Tell us who you got for the matches as well.
Yay. I'll be there this time because I'm on vacation.
That's what's up. So for Miss Simi, who will be joining us this Sunday in the live tweets, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 10 of the NXT cast.
Bye. See you on the hashtags.